Now, Evangelist Winston Time.
Thank you. The Word of God at Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He applied these words to himself. They set forth the mission of Jesus to the world. He was so tender in his feelings toward the world that he stands alone. He is the highest type of excellence. He will ever be the admiration of friend and foe. It was the mission of Jesus to preach the good tidings to the poor. Contrary to opinion, Jesus nowhere teaches that it is a virtue to be poor. Jesus nowhere teaches that it is a crime to be rich. He does teach there is danger in riches. And he does teach that the wealthy and those who desire to be wealthy will meet with many temptations. It will be hard for them to get to heaven. There are times when the poor are trodden down. They are despised. They are defrauded. God hears the cry of the poor. Jesus is the friend of the poor. Jesus was so poor that he had nowhere to lay his head. He ate and drank with publicans and sinners. Nearly all his apostles were very poor people. Jesus became poor for our sakes that we through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and verse 9. Abraham Lincoln said, "God must love the common people, or he would not make so many of them." The man who preaches the gospel will tell you, the poor have always been the readiest to receive the gospel. As a rule, we find more faith, more humility, and more sacrifice. James said, "Did not God choose them that are poor as to the world to be rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to them that love him?" James chapter 2 and verse 5. It was the mission of Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The sorrows that came upon him were incomparably heavy. My friend, it is difficult for you and me to comprehend his sorrow when he stood and wept over Jerusalem. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Jesus came to save men, and he was deeply grieved when the people of Jerusalem refused to come to him. His loving care is seen in the statement, "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. What must have been his sorrow as he stood in the presence of the city where he taught so many people and performed so many miracles of mercy? He knows our sorrows. He knows how to heal them. His agony in the garden brings him into loving and sympathetic touch with all the brokenhearted. Only Jesus can sustain us in our sorrows. This world is a great house of mourning. Every passing moment, someone's loved ones are passing away. Sad and lonely hearts remain. Paul wrote to the Christians in the church of the Thessalonians. He said, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Thessalonians had turned to God from idols. They were living in hope. Remember, my friend, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He mingled his tears with those of Mary and Martha. In every strategic time of trial, in each care and sorrow, and in the days of loneliness, look to Jesus. He cares for you. It was the mission of Jesus to deliver the captive. There are many who are the servants of sin. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome. He said, "But thanks be to God, that, whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching, whereunto ye were delivered. And being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Romans chapter 6, verse 17-18. If we want freedom from sin, we must obey the gospel of Christ. In baptism, we become united with Christ in the likeness of his death. Then we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And we know that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Baptized into Christ Jesus, and baptized into his death, is the language of the Apostle Paul. Jesus shed his blood in his death. We receive the benefits of shed blood when we are baptized into his death. We cannot be delivered from sin by the blood of Christ unless we are baptized into Christ Jesus. Some men are in bondage to traditions. Some are loyal to human creeds, confessions, and ordinances. All of these must disappear when we believe the gospel of Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of the Lord is not in traditions and creeds of men. It is the truth that makes us free. What is truth? Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." John chapter 17, verse 17. He is free indeed, whom the truth makes free. The commandments of men always hamper the mind. Human creeds cramp the soul. They destroy freedom of thought. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. It was the mission of Jesus to restore sight to the blind. He did cause the blind to see. Blindness is one of the worst physical maladies. What a tragic and awful thing to spend all the years of one's earth life unable to see the faces of one's friends. It is a great misfortune to be doomed to perpetual darkness. There is a blindness that is infinitely worse. It is spiritual blindness. There are men who know not the way to heaven, yet they say, we see. Thou are religious people who deny the authority of Jesus Christ. They say, we see. Jesus told the Pharisees, if ye were blind, ye would have no sin. But now ye say, we see, your sin remaineth. John the 9th chapter and verse 41. It is true that the spiritually blind assume spiritual leadership. This is a case of the blind leading the blind. Jesus called the Pharisees blind guides. Then he said, if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Such is the mission of Christ. He is the captain of our salvation. He has gone before to lead us in the right way. You must believe in Christ, but faith only is a dead faith. Convictions without executions are useless. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. James chapter 2, verse 26. If you believe the word of God, you must be obedient to its commands, or else be untrue to your convictions. Have you obeyed the gospel? Think about it. God bless you, my friend.